I always like to start each message with a couple of thoughts to inspire you. And the first one is this. If our vision for life does not include the impossibility of limitless growth, we are only limping along. And the second one is this. On the ocean that is named impossible, those who trust in God are able to walk on water. As always, it's so good to be with you, and I truly enjoy our time together each week as we celebrate the Holy Mass. Please let me say, I really appreciate it that you make a priority to be here for Mass. Last Sunday, today's and next Sunday's gospel reading as well are part of a larger sermon that was presented by Jesus to a crowd described as a crowd of disciples and curious onlookers who numbered, it says, in the many thousands. Probably one of the greatest crowds that gathered to hear Jesus teach. And just prior to Jesus' arrival, he had delivered a scathing message to a group of religious leaders on the topic of hypocrisy. So to say that Jesus was fired up when he entered into this crowd and made his entrance would be putting it very mildly. Jesus instructs the crowd on seven important spiritual topics. Some, it says, are addressed specifically to the disciples, and some, it just says, to the onlookers. Also, this has been called an interactive sermon because as Jesus is teaching, he will be interrupted three times with people asking for clarification. And he does stop and he takes the time to clarify what he's trying to communicate. Now, I want to give you just a little tip here about studying the scriptures. It's really important when you study the scriptures to pay attention to the entire text. Sometimes you think, well, I'll just skip that. That really doesn't matter. But it all ties together because it is the Word of God. So with that little introduction, let's go now. Let's dive into today's reading. The first thing that Jesus says to the disciples is that the kingdom of God has been given to you. And the emphasis is on the word you. One of the things that I've been doing recently is a study on what made Jesus happy. What was it in his life that made him happy? And here's what I discovered. And it ties in extremely well with the reading today. What made Jesus happy was giving you full access to the kingdom of God. Another place where Jesus takes the 72 disciples and he calls them to go out in pairs of two into the villages and the cities in preparation to share the gospel as Jesus would come through and share the gospel. It says that when they returned and they gathered all back together to tell Jesus what had happened, here's what it says. Luke records this. He says, Jesus, full of joy, there's that happiness in it, said to them, rejoice that your names are written in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God has been given to you. So to give you the kingdom of God, to give you life as it was meant to be before sin entered into the world, to know that one day the streets of the kingdom would be bustling not only with angels, but also with people like yourselves, made Jesus very happy. He was very happy about that. And that's why that first verse in the reading today is so powerful. Listen to what he says. He says, do not be afraid any longer. Don't worry, he says, because you're a little flock in a great big world. Your Father, and I can't overemphasize that, your Father, he says, who has adopted you as one of his own children, is pleased. In other words, it gives him great pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. The second thing about kingdom living is that it begins at baptism. I'm going to call you the little flock today, like Jesus did in the verse of the reading today. Little flock, I have some encouraging news for you, some great news actually for you. Kingdom living begins at baptism. It begins when you are forgiven of your sins and you receive the Holy Spirit within yourself. And as Paul writes today in the second reading, our journey now to this better homeland, this heavenly city, it begins at baptism, and then it ends in full and final form when we enter through the gates called that are made of pearl that John described in Revelation, as we enter through the gates into the city that is called the New Jerusalem. So once again, some great encouraging news. And all I can say to you is rejoice at the Father's good pleasure as it is directed towards you. The third thing that Jesus says in these passages is don't waste any time in adopting a kingdom dweller lifestyle. Interestingly enough, something that Paul and both Peter say in their letters, they say this, that the moment that we become a citizen of the kingdom of God, in one sense, we become strangers and aliens on this world. And what's he meaning by that? Well, what he's saying is our longing, our passion, our thirst, our love, and yes, as Jesus said, our heart. Now, when we enter into the kingdom, it shifts from the world to pursuing what he says are the inexhaustible treasures of the kingdom of God. Oh, I love the words of Jesus. He said that the kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold everything that he had and bought that field. And again, he says, the kingdom is like a merchant that is looking for fine pearls. When he finds one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. You feel that shifting of priority? You feel that importance we see here of pursuing the inexhaustible treasures of God? Well, this is the message in the first parable that he gives in the reading. And you can sort of sum it up this way. People of God, be spiritually alert. Be spiritually fit is another way. Pray without ceasing. Love God. Celebrate the sacraments, particularly the Holy Eucharist. Study the Word of God. Enjoy the company of your family and your parish family. Do good in the world and give preferential treatment to the poor. Be like the servants, as he said in the parable, who are eagerly. You feel that sense of diligence, that sense of alertness, who are eagerly awaiting their master's return. And a couple of ways that he shows that is he says, gird your loins. That's the first thing. Now, when back in the old day, they wore what was called a tunic. It was a long robe. But when it was time to go to work, what they would do is they would pull it up and tuck it under their belt so that they could run without tripping and falling. It means that they were ready for service. They were ready for activity. And Jesus says these servants are like that. He also says, make sure that your lamps are trimmed and burning. Trimmed, well, so that they'll put out the most light. And they're burning because Jesus said, you don't know when the master's going to return. He may return in the second or the third watch of the night, which means like midnight to sunrise. But what's important, he says, is that you be prepared, that you be ready when he comes. Now, it's very important to remember this because we sometimes, the way that we think about Jesus and his return, we think about fear. We think about fear that it's sort of like a fear that the boss is going to unexpectedly show up and catch you sleeping on the job. A lot of people interpret this parable in this way. But no, that's not what he's saying. Boy, I would hate to think that being diligent, prepared for the Lord is based upon fear. It's the exact opposite. It's based upon love. It's based upon love. It's all about the joy of seeing the master when he shows up. So, and Jesus, he really gets into this because what he says next about this preparation and being spiritually alert, I can't get my hands around it. There's just no way I can grasp it. It's too great. But here we have a parable where a man has gotten married, and he's coming home with his bride after a big feast, a marriage feast that they've had, And the master, when he gets there, because the servants are awaiting him, he is so happy that he invites them to sit at the table, and he serves them. He serves them. Now, that is mind-boggling. And then he goes on to say, blessed are those servants who are spiritually alert. So adopt, develop a kingdom lifestyle right now. And then the final thing is to be an encouragement to others as they make their way to the kingdom of God as well. Now, before Jesus could continue on with his instruction, Peter stops him and he asks him, he says, Lord, who is this parable meant for? Who did you mean it for? Did you mean it for us, meaning the apostles, or did you mean it for everyone who is here? Now, there's not a lot of widespread consensus on who the specific group that he was targeting with this parable. But there are some certain across-the-board points that are very clear and evident that we need to apply in our lives. And so here they are. God entrusts persons to us by virtue of the talents and abilities that we have been given. So you and I are called. This spiritual life is not a personal, all personal kind of thing. But you and I are called to awaken a thirst for the kingdom of God in other people. And that's why personal stewardship is so important. Because the lives of people that have been entrusted to you are at stake. And here's a really good close example of applying your personal stewardship to those that have been entrusted to you. It's like right here at this parish. If you're a member of this parish, God has entrusted to your personal stewardship this wonderful parish community. People have served you today. People have read the gospel today. People have played instruments. All of these things. You see people using their stewardship in order to help you increase your thirst and longing for the kingdom of God. What a wonderful, wonderful thought that is. Another point that he makes is that he says that since talents and abilities are given to us by God, that makes us stewards. We don't possess them. It's not something that we possess, but it's something that God has given to us. And he says, because you're smart, because you are a faithful, and because you are a wise steward, you will use these gifts to the help of others with great generosity. Great generosity. Then he says, the more gifts that we are given to manage, the more accountable we will be. And then finally, he says, we will be justly compensated by how good a steward that we are in life. Now, this is something that Jesus said on numerous occasions. This isn't something new just in this one place. But what he's saying is, when you exercise your spiritual gifts, like to help this parish in your stewardship, it's serious business. It's really serious business. And it's not to be taken lightly. And what Jesus says, he says, those who apply these gifts liberally, they will be greatly rewarded with treasures in heaven. And he says, those who unwillingly and willfully and knowingly did not use these gifts, he says they will be treated harshly in heaven. And then he says those who do not use their gifts but are unaware of what they are doing, it says they will be treated not as harshly, but they will be treated harshly. In other words, Jesus is saying to us, he's saying lack of knowledge is not absolute in excusing accountability. It just isn't. I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection today on this wonderful passage. The message hashtag is the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question. How much does the kingdom of God mean to you? How much? And here's a real simple little test. How would you rate your spiritual alertness today on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest? Where are you in your spiritual alertness in life? And the second is this. Are you being a good steward of what God has entrusted to you here at St. Albert the Great Parish? If you had to take a guess, What do you think that your investment portfolio in heaven looks like right now? God bless each and every one of you.